Lee, I don't know if you caught this because you were on vacation.
Yeah.
So hopefully you weren't paying attention.
Yes. Well, I was making a concerted effort not to.
Good. Then maybe I can be the first one to tell you because okay, we've talked right. about this for so long and it's so exciting. Donald Trump did something unbelievable last week. So unbelievable, I'm still talking about it. Opened the first rare earth minerals mine in 70 years in this country.
Well, I had to break it to you, but I did hear about that. So, darn. But anyway, but yes, it is significant. Yes.
And on that land, inside of it, something else happened. This is incredible. You got a twofer. The first coal mine to open in the United States of America in 29 years.
That's embarrassing.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
And this was part of Barack Obama's, deliberate destruction of our energy profile. We used to have 40% of our energy came from coal. Now only 11% does. The population has expanded, so has manufacturing. We can't keep up. And this is why, while China opens, I just double-checked this, get this, 90 to 100 a year on average, coal fire plants a year. Because they want to make stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's only so much we can do with tariffs and other things to dissuade people from making stuff in China if we can't provide affordable energy to make it here. And so what Trump did last week, if you've listened to me for a long time, Lee, and I know you've been forced to, unfortunately, it's a condition
it's been
of your
a pleasure,
employment.
Though, Tara.
Thank you. One of my biggest fears has been that the Democrats would declare a climate emergency, which would trigger the Labor Act.
Right.
Not my idea. The New York Times pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. You can look up Labor Act, New York Times. The kind of quintessential article that they did on it that terrified me, I've been referring to it for years, was "You want to buy meat? In this economy." The Labor Act, it's already law, and it allows Democrats, because Republicans would never do it, to seize the means of production and delivery for food and fuel.
Supposedly during a national emergency, though.
Right. So we
which
don't
that
have
would be
one.
Like a war or,
So they were going to declare a climate emergency, use the Labor Act to seize energy and destroy it. Well, you know how Trump was able to open that rare earth minerals mine, the first one in 70 years?
Let me guess. A national emergency.
Yes. So funny. Instead of a climate emergency, he declared an energy emergency and did an end run around all of those regulations, especially the National Species Protection Act. Anyway, so this is how crazy this is. The rare earth minerals mine that he opened, they first applied for a permit 15 years ago. He got it open in 6 months after declaring the emergency. Yeah. So this is the opposite of what the Democrats wanted to do. Well, this week, we are seeing what it would look like if the Democrats achieved what they wanted. Because remember, Joe Biden, by 2030, wanted to force natural gas coal production facilities to put scrubbers on. And nobody's ever done it before. Germany tried. It would be 90% effective. And they'd either have to shut down or find the science to do it, to capture 90% of emissions. It was going to absolutely skyrocket and bankrupt anybody trying to operate one. Well, that's gone now. That's over. They pulled the plug on that. What would the country look like if Joe Biden and the Democrats had managed to carry their plans to a conclusion? Well, we're looking at Netherlands. Did you see this? Headline, UK Daily Mail. Netherlands rations electricity as country struggles to cope with turning away from gas as part of green policies. As expert warns, Britain is also in trouble. Listen to this. The Netherlands is rationing electricity. This is the Democrats' dream. This is what they wanted. Think of the power they would have. And I'll explain why in a second. The Netherlands is rationing electricity as its overloaded power grid buckles under the pressure of rapid electrification. That's a translation to they're trying to get electricity from windmills and solar panels. It doesn't work. And their ambitious climate goals. Okay, more than 11,900 businesses are stuck in the queue for access to the network. Talking about the grid. alongside public buildings, including hospitals, schools, and fire stations. Thousands of new homes are also waiting to be connected, with some areas warned they may have to wait until the 2030s. So the homes are just sitting there unoccupied because you can't heat or cool them. If only they had access to one of the top 10 in size natural gas fields on Earth. Oh, wait, they do.
Yeah.
It's called Groningen. It's in the Netherlands. It's vast. It's the largest natural gas field in the European Union, one of the 10 biggest in the world. Its available reserves of almost 450 billion cubic meters can meet the EU, the whole EU's needs for 1 year. But they shut it down.
Yeah, of course.
2023.
Because we can't do smart things in Europe.
No. Europe has to be destroyed. Europe is one of the two hubs on Earth of Western civilization. The other one is America, so that has to be destroyed too. UK Daily Mail writes, it's exact, talk about the Groningen gas field, is exactly the kind of precious economic resource that would normally be front and center in an energy crisis like the one afflicting the region today. Every molecule of gas counts at a time when Europe is scrambling to cut ties with Russia, a source of about 40% of the EU's gas consumption. But that's not happening. Groningen production is actually being wound down with a view to halting it next year entirely. This process started in 2023, part of a longstanding pledge to address earthquake risks and environmental damage. Now, here's the key line. They're basically writing about how Shell, Exxon, and this other company are winding down their production of natural gas there. Why? The Dutch state is a co-owner. This is what the Democrats were trying to do. Seize means of production of energy and means of delivery. Why? So they could start shutting it down, like the Netherlands. So I just wanted you to see this morning what it would look like if Joe Biden and the Democrats had won this election, what we would be headed for: total, absolute economic destruction to benefit China. And just, you know, smash us, basically. But that's been halted. And we have the historic achievement this weekly, of course, of the first rare earth minerals mine in 70 years to open, and first coal mine in 29 years.
No. Still got to get busy, though, because mining it is one thing, refining it is the other.
Yeah, we have a long, long, long way to go.
Not to throw cold water on
no,
this.
No.
This is a good thing.
Just to do that. I mean, right. You didn't see this in the first Trump administration.
Yeah.
It's a milestone.
Yeah.
And he's got to go fast and to get it done in 6 months. And we're going to have to do it all. And you see China doing this. We're going to need I'm getting people say, oh, forget coal, nuclear. No, China is going full bore on nuclear. They're going full bore on coal. Every single they're trying hydrogen, every single conceivable kind of energy they are throwing at the wall as fast as they can. We have to do it too, or we're going to have a world with one lone superpower called China.
Yeah. Although I have seen some indications recently that we are getting more interested in nuclear energy again, thankfully.
Yeah. We need it all.
Since we're the ones that developed it to begin with.
Yeah.
But like you said, and this is like what former Congressman Jeff Duncan always said, all of the above energy. He was absolutely right about that. We need the nuclear. We need the hydro. We need the fine if you want to do the wind and the solar if it's affordable, but you've got to have the natural gas and the coal-fired things to do your baseline energy needs for this country, or none of this green stuff is going to make any difference at all.
No. No. And we've got to go fast. So Trump is one man. There's only so much one man could do, but this helps a lot.
Right.
One of the other really great things too, in the big, beautiful bill, it ended by law Joe Biden's only on paper mandate that everybody buy an EV, which would have absolutely crashed the grid, but giving them an unbelievable amount of power because that would have drawn so much electricity, the Democrats would have had to ration. And Lee, I've said for a long time, rationing is the goal.
Yeah.
It's not an accident.
Absolutely.
It's not a whoopsie. It's not a byproduct.
Right.
It's total political power.
Right.
I mean, look at what's going on with the Netherlands. Imagine how much power you would have as an evil liberal if you've got 11,900 businesses stuck in the queue for access to the grid versus, you know, neighborhoods full of houses that won't be hooked up till the 2030s, you can pit them against each other. and hand out to your friends access to power.
I think there was a book and a movie about that called The Hunger Games.
Yeah. And imagine that, because then what if everything's going to be electric? Remember, they were even going to make the semis be electric.
Yeah.
How does the food move?
That was a huge mistake. I won't bore you with all the details about
that. That was horrible.
I've been looking into that. That was unsustainable. It was never going to work.
Which was the idea?
Yeah.
Food shortages. Think about the power you'd have if you created that. So we've just set them back years, which is good. How bad is it in the Netherlands right now? They have literally implemented the Democrats' green plans there, so we could actually see what it's like. Listen to this. A national ad campaign is urging the public to avoid charging e-bikes and electric cars between 4 and 9 p.m. when the grid is under the most strain. They now have basically blackout hours. Even worse, they're having to tell manufacturers to stop manufacturing for several hours a day. Folks, this was our future. This is what they wanted. It's not a screw up. This is how they plan to finish the country off. The Netherlands has been one of Europe's most aggressive adopters of green policies, aiming to cut emissions in half by 2030. None of that matters with China opening 90 to 100 coal-fired plants a year. It absolutely doesn't matter. To ease demand, operators are offering, grid operators are offering cheaper contracts for off-peak usage and telling major industries they may need to shut off entirely for several hours a day. This was the plan for here. They're incredibly frustrated. The absolute destruction we would have had by 2030. Right now, 11% of our power comes from coal. That would end by 2030. Instead, Trump just managed to open the first new coal mine in this country in 29 years. It's nowhere near where China is, but it's a start. We have to normalize doing this. Unbelievable. By the way, this is unbelievable too. You know how the Democrats keep wailing on, we need to take the masks off of ICE. We need to know who they are. We need to find out who they are. Of course they do. They want to find out where they live. That way they don't have to show up in the parking lot when they try to assassinate them. We saw three times last week. Look, do you realize that? Three times last week. 1 week. Attempted murder by lunatic leftist of Border Patrol or Customs and Border Patrol officials. And agents. Three times. I'm holding my breath, folks. It's Tuesday. I hope we've rounded up the worst of them. Because if you want to know what the Democrats will do with the identities of these agents who are masked, look no further than this lunatic, Representative Salud Carbajal, out of course, California, says he denies doxing the bleeding ICE agent. Here's what happened. An ICE public affairs specialist, this is just a spokesperson, okay? Representative Salud Carbajal, he's out there. He's with the violent crowd. He's pushing back against ICE. When the ICE public affairs specialist makes the mistake of trying to reason with him and say, hey, listen, I'll answer your questions about this raid. You may have some misconceptions. Okay, so this is a spokesperson. This is not an agent. This is not somebody rounding up illegals. This is a spokesperson for ICE. He hands the lunatic representative, who is, of course, a Democrat, his business card. Says, hey, I'll answer your questions. We're very open here. Guess what? Representative Salud Carbajal, he's obviously a Congress member, turns around and hands the card to the crowd. How's that work out? And this is just a learning lesson for what will Democrats, including Democrat Congress members, do if they get your identity or identify you, because you're standing there in a crowd, as an actual ICE representative that they can get their hands on. He ended up bleeding in the emergency room. The ICE public affairs specialist, who Department of Homeland Security said had his business card shown to the mob by the Democrat congressman, in other words, the congressman doxed him, had rocks thrown at him by the crowd, causing injury to his left hand. Images show the bloodied hand before and after the incident. He had to go to the ER for stitches. So if you had any doubt at all that these supposedly outraged liberal lunatics on MSNBC who want the faces shown of these ICE officers, what the purpose is, it is to find them, to hunt them, and to make them bleed. This is where we are in this country. And people need to wake up to this, because this is an actual, this is a civil war. I don't know how else to put it. Do you hear what they're saying on MSNBC now? This is former prosecutor Joyce Vance, one of their commentators, pushing the idea of lawful, she says, violent resistance to ICE. Now, if you notice when they cover this stuff, the way the left lies about this, and it really confuses their sheeple, they refer to illegal immigrants with the same terms they do lawful Americans, lawful civilians. So this is how this nut is claiming that illegals have the right to self-defense with a gun. They do not. They are not American citizens. But she's pretending there's no difference between them and us, because to the left, there isn't. In fact, they prefer non-American citizens because they hate America. So this is where MSNBC is going now, pushing lawful, violent, they say lawful, it's not, violent resistance to ICE as normal.
But you know what I've never seen a federal agent working a case do is pull a mask up so nobody knows who they are and go out and terrorize a civilian population. This is not normal. It's not acceptable. And it's a danger sign. And as we see people being pulled off the streets, you know, the danger to law enforcement, quite frankly, is that when you're masked like that and people don't know who you are, someone might exercise their lawful right of self-defense to protect themselves, thinking they're being kidnapped. So the notion that this is for law enforcement's protection is utterly ludicrous, and we need to do away with that.
Okay, what they just told their violent street loons is that, because she's a former prosecutor, is that illegal immigrants have a lawful right to self-defense against ICE to avoid kidnapping. It sounds very official, very sanctioned, very normal when she says it. It's stone cold wackadoodle. But this is where they are. And I want you to understand what you look at these people. They're throwing rocks. They're trying to murder ICE agents. They're opening fire on them. Where are they getting this cray cray? MSNBC, y'all. This is what they're listening to. This is where it comes from. And they're not going to win. They're not. Because they, and folks, the desperation, the bleeding, all of this is because they are watching their shadow nation deport itself. And it's glorious. You see this from Florida? Florida Herald Journal, raising the alarm, illegals are self-deporting rapidly and in large numbers. So they haven't figured out how to stop that yet. It's a problem for them, not for the rest of us. As you know, there's a $40 million bounty on Donald Trump's head from Iran. Remember what I taught you. If you want to understand what's going on in the world right now, simple way to do it. Every time you see the word Iran or hear it, cross it off in your mind and put China. That's China's nuclear program in Iran, not Iran's. I've explained this exhaustively on the American Battleground America podcast and on the show last week and in recent weeks. The biggest facility, the only one we didn't destroy, has not one, not two, but three Chinese reactors in it. We only blew the roof off. It is far deeper than the mountain one goes. Still operational today. They just need to clear the roof off. Who works there? 3,000 scientists. Roughly split between Chinese and Iranian. This is Iran's nuclear program, only in name. So when Iran says they're going to kill Trump and puts a $40 million bounty, what I hear is China's going to kill Trump. That makes sense. The timing is perfect. because Trump's got China up against a wall with these tariffs, especially with the secondary tariffs Trump's floating now on Russia. That didn't even count the ones that he's doing that are blocking the Chinese supply chains that run through every country, a lot of countries, I should say, dozens of countries on Earth. Basically saying you could pay an even higher tariff rate if you're letting China slip goods in through the back door. This will gut the Chinese economy. It's war. And they're fighting it with Iranian bullets. This is not widely understood, nor is it widely understood how much risk Trump is in. Remarkable article from of all places, Washington Post. I'll get to that in a second. But you need to hear this. I don't know why nobody's listening to Josh Dawsey. He is a Wall Street Journal investigative journalist. He just put out a book about the kill teams that were hunting Trump during the election. Yes. I don't know why this isn't playing. Okay, let's try again.
Elevated level of protection around him, even compared to other presidents. But I will say on the campaign trail, what we found was they had kill teams in the United States. The intelligence folks were telling them, folks in the United States who wanted to kill him.
That doesn't even count the missiles.
They were flying decoy planes all over the country because they were worried about missiles. The Iranian threats towards President Trump, people were saying that the campaign was paranoid, this, that, and the other, but they were getting real intelligence and real information that there was something here that they had to be extraordinarily careful about.
What about now?
I don't know the current threats towards him now, other than, I mean, there's no reason to believe after he bombed their nuclear sites that they would be less interested. Anyway.
Yeah. That's because the intel was that Iran had snuck a missile into the United States of America. This is a Defense Intelligence Agency analyst on Sean Ryan.
But we had two solid sources, one south of the border and then one from an element within our own government that confirmed independently of each other that Iranian-made man pads, so surface-to-air missiles, had come across the border. We had the location and everything else. Well, we got this to Secret Service. We did the whole gamut and got everything pushed to them. And that's why Trump was pushing a lot of this stuff out when he was, because we had told the Secret Service and they had the reporting and everything else. We have not, to my knowledge, have not recovered those man pads. But what I do know we have done is we have apprehended the couriers on a second run of theirs, and local law enforcement got together with federal law enforcement and rolled up the safe house. And we have since identified what that issue was on the border.
So we now have Iranian missiles
in America. Sounds kind of serious. Especially with Iran promising to kill Trump at Mar-a-Lago, something they may be able to do with a man pad. Is it still out there? I don't know. Can you trust the Secret Service to protect Trump? No. Remarkable, remarkable story broken by Fox News. And I think that's why the Washington Post did it. They didn't break it. Fox News did. There is a mind-blowing documentary right now on Fox Nation. It's behind the paywall. I paid $10 to watch it. I've watched it 3 times now, and I'm going to probably watch it again today on the treadmill. Because what's in it is so mind-bending. Here's what it is. Crooks is up on the roof. He opens fire. I've been laying this out for the last 2 days here. Here's the problem with this. In the documentary, for the first time, we talk to the Beaver County EMS unit, all of them, including the leader. And what is the big lie that has been told to Americans? Well, news about Crooks didn't get passed on by Butler County because the Secret Service and Butler County were on two separate channels. So see, they weren't talking. Here's the problem. In this first ever interview, Butler County documents how they went not once but twice in person, face to face, with the guy operating the control room. The Secret Service agent operating the control room. They told him that Crooks had a rangefinder. They told him that Crooks was setting up his shot with a laser aimed right at where Trump was speaking. They did nothing. So Butler County frantically began hunting for Crooks. They sent a representative back a second time, face to face, to tell the Secret Service, he's on the roof. Secret Service not only did nothing, but that agent was never punished and got a promotion. He's still working inside the Secret Service today. Is he handling Trump events? God help us. Because we all need to learn one name, Aaron Zalapone. Fox News broke this on Fox Nation's bombshell. They should have played it bigger on Fox News. Anyway, Washington Post is doing it now. Who is he? Well, he needs to meet Donald Trump, and they need to talk, because he saved Donald Trump's life, and Trump doesn't even know it. As documented by the Fox News Nationwide, 8 shots fired by crooks. Then you can clearly hear a 9th shot. It's Aaron Zalapoli, Butler County SWAT team operator, standing in an open field between the gunmen and, get this, the Secret Service sniper. Sniper doesn't open fire. Zalapoli does. Takes out the buttstock of the rifle. Crooks collapses. He's hit. He's been hit by shrapnel. He doesn't know how bad it is. He's down for a few seconds. He's obviously checking himself. Am I mortally wounded? What happened? He puts his head back up. Zalapoli aims again to take him out. 10 seconds later, the sniper for the Secret Service actually does. Now, why is this a big story? We've never seen his face before. We never heard his name until Fox News broke the story. It's why Washington Post came behind him and did it. As if they broke it. They didn't. This is a bombshell. Why? Because as the Washington Post admits, remember, the FBI did a lot of planning for Butler. No one at the FBI has been disciplined. The FBI still maintains to this day, and for this Washington Post article, that Aaron Zalapoli did not hit Thomas Crooks. But there's a problem, as documented it by Fox News. And it's a big problem. Crooks had all kinds of shrapnel in his right shoulder. Bullet shrapnel. Well, the bullet by the Secret Service agent entered on the right and exited on the left. There shouldn't be shrapnel in his right shoulder. But that's where he had the buttstock. In other words, Aaron Zalapoli saved Trump's life, stopped a mass shooting, and forced the Secret Service to finally kill Thomas Crooks, something they clearly didn't want to do. And in the interview on Fox Nation, which I encourage you to watch, the leader of the Butler County SWAT team says, Trump has never said his name. Trump doesn't even know about him. If Trump doesn't know about Aaron Zalapoli, has never thanked him, mentioned him, contacted him in any way, as Trump has done with the others, what it means is Trump doesn't understand the FBI is still lying to him about the assassination. So here's the article. I'm going to hold it up so you can see it on the air. This guy right here, we never saw his face before a few weeks ago. He saved Trump. Not the Secret Service, and the FBI still won't acknowledge it. And folks, you don't need a special report. Listen to the video. You can count the shots. There's 8 by Crooks, a 9th by Zalapoli, and then the sniper takes him out 10 seconds later. And despite the audio, the freak shows at the FBI are still denying there was a 9th shot. It's there. You can hear it. We've got video from their cams, you know, that the officers wear on their uniforms. You can watch Zalapoli take the shot. You can hear it. And the FBI denies it. And the punchline? Oh, the punchline. You know what they did when they cremated Crooks? They left the bullet fragments in his body and they burned them. You know, Zalapoli's bullet. What are they hiding, folks? Trump is in, I'm telling you, he's in mortal danger. Somebody needs to get to this man and explain to him how he's been lied to, and he needs to go through personally and fire these people. You know what he needs to do? Get Bongino out of the FBI. Get him out. He's not happy there. Put him where he belongs, at the head of the Secret Service, and fire these people before it's too late. I got a question for you. Would you travel to New York at this point? We have a family reunion. Many years now, not so many years as we used to. My family's from New York. And one of the really cool things I got to do when I was a kid that I loved is my dad would put me on the train on purpose instead of flying, because you could really see the country that way. And I went as a teenager, went by myself. There's a transition like stop in New York, and then you have to get on another train and you go through there. I was this close to booking that for my kids. I'm like, no, I can't. because there was a layover. It was an hour and a half. I'm terrified to stand in New York City with two children for an hour and a half. We could be killed. I mean, you got Tren de Aragua, you got the 18th Street Gang, and that doesn't even count the thugs that they send out on the street rather than holding because there's no bond for the lower level offenses. Well, you'll never guess who mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani, or Mamdani, is blaming for the drastic decline in tourism to New York. Oh my gosh, you're going to love this. Up next.